Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending, the Oklahoma City Thunder are NBA champions for the first time in their franchise's history with a 103-91 win in Game 7 yesterday. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the finals MVP that go with his regular season MVP to go with his scoring crown as well. Of course, during the game, though, unfortunately, very early on, Tyrese Haliburton of the Pacers suffered what was very evident at the time, a serious Achilles injury. We haven't got a further update today, I don't think, but we all know kind of what we saw there. A serious injury, probably a ruptured Achilles. And that was a devastating blow for the Pacers, although they led at halftime. We'll talk more about the Thunder and could they be the next dynasty to go with what the Chiefs have done, what the Panthers have done in the NHL as well. But congrats to the Thunder.
Well, the Royals had a nice 4-2 road trip, something Alex and I debated what they can do on the road, but they have dropped two straight. Off today, then a couple tough teams. The Rays have been playing extremely well. They come to town. They're currently +3 on everybody else in the wild card run. Then you got the Dodgers and Ohtani coming to town. So what can they do at home? Because they've lost six straight home series. They've lost six straight games at home. Can they turn that around? Having that off day definitely helped before they went to play Texas. And a 3-3 road trip seemed you would have accepted it before they went, but you get 4-2, you should be happy unless you wanted 5-1.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about the road trip, talk about the Royals heading into a big week at Kauffman Stadium beginning tomorrow against the Rays. Number three on what's trending, the Chiefs training camp schedule is out. Some key dates for fans. First practice that's open to the public is July 23rd there in St. Joe. July 28th will be their alumni day, August 2nd. So Saturday is the family fun day, and then August 13th, it's a Thursday, is the military appreciation day that they do up there in St. Joe. Obviously, this show will be up in St. Joe quite a bit, doing shows like we have the last couple of years. We'll have some guests joining us, and not sure the first day we're up there yet for sure, but we will be, I'm sure, up there 12, 15 times or so doing our shows up in St. Joe watching training camp.
There's less than a month, Alex. That's how close we're getting.
True.
This is what happens when you play in the Super Bowl and you keep going your season until February. But it is less, one day less than a month for the Chiefs to begin training camp in St. Joe, and I can't wait. It's hard to believe it's already here again, to be honest with you. Kevin Durant, Fanatics, had this Fanatics Fest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody was there,
yeah,
man.
It's a big
who
it's a
was
big
there?
Deal. Yep.
And he was up on stage, and the fans said, oh, you've been traded to Houston. So Kevin Durant, no longer in Phoenix as he goes to the Rockets.
Yeah, that'll become official at some point here soon, but that was the report. On the day of the NBA Finals, Kevin Durant stole some of the headlines with the news that he's traded to the Rockets. Last one for you. In Omaha yesterday, the College World Series wrapped up, LSU defeating Coastal Carolina 5-3 in Game 2. That's their second national title in three seasons. The Tigers have won 8 NCAA baseball championships in their program's history. Maybe in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk more about what happened in that game, because there's a lot of controversy with this ump throwing out the manager for Coastal in the first inning, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't do that. And the one thing too is, like, the SEC got a ton of run, and then people started going, making fun of the SEC a little bit when it got to the regionals and the super regionals. They say, well, hey, where's the SEC? Mm-hmm. Well, they ended up winning the whole thing. So that's true. But Coastal Carolina, give them credit. They are national champions before. What is it, 2016, Drew, something like that? Coastal won it. Was it 16?
Yeah, 16.
So they had a chance to win it again. But, you know, they were on a 26-game winning streak there for a while. It's a very tough team. College World Series is fun, man. The regionals are fun. Super regionals are fun. The College World Series is fun.
Oh, I've
And
Rocco's up
there,
right?
Where they have the jello shots. Mm-hmm. LSU had – I've never seen a disparity between the different teams. LSU completely were the bigger drinkers.
Yeah, the city of Omaha, one, does a great job with the College World Series. It's an awesome couple weeks. But LSU, that's when the city gets really excited, because LSU brings so many fans – and so when you look at the draw of teams and who ends up going there and advancing through regionals, Omaha secretly is always rooting for LSU, man, because they take over the city, and that's big-time money for Omaha.
Chamber of Commerce
does. These bars make their whole year, like cover their whole year's rent. At least Rocco's does when it comes to that two-week stretch. Think about that. That's how important it is for them. So anyway, that's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you, Drew Nixon producing the show, Jay Binkley's filling in for Cody, and of course, on a Monday, you're thinking, what should I do for some lunch? What should I do for some dinner today? Well, we got the answer for you. Our friends over at 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner here, they've got $5.99 classic burgers. 30 Hop is your new go-to in American bar, kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. They've got a great location out in Lee's Summit. They also have their brand new location right down the street from us in Merriam at the Grand Station area. Brand new apartments there. And you've right below that, you see you've got 30 Hop. They're a proud lunch partner of our show. We appreciate their support. Make sure you stop in for lunch. Stay for happy hour. 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio.
It's a good day for patio if the wind keeps up.
Even with patio. The wind, I don't know, man. It was windy yesterday. And
usually
it was
there's
hot.
Fans out there. It's not that bad.
They got plenty of room inside, too, man. Plenty of room inside if you're not in one of the patio today. Plenty of room in there to hang out.
You get me a beer and burgers.
That's right. $5.99 classic burgers there. All right, let's talk about the Royals, though. You mentioned during What's Trending, Bank, they finished the road trip 4-2. Last Tuesday, we discussed what they needed to accomplish on the road trip after having that abysmal homestand where they were 0-4, embarrassing losses to the A's over the weekend and all that. And we said, hey, you know, you're 4 under .500 at that point in time. Can you cut it in half? I said, best case scenario, 4-2 would be an amazing road trip. You cut it in half. Then they start off 4-0.
Both of you and I would have paid for that.
Then they start off 4-0 on the road trip, and you get greedy.
Yeah,
you get greedy, and you're saying, okay. And now, it because of losing two in a row and because of how yesterday went down, I feel like people are bummed out, obviously. But a 4-2 road trip, you'll take that every single time, but it puts that much more pressure on this week again. You're 2 under. You're 2 back in the wild card race for the final wild card spot. You did jump a bunch of teams, thank goodness, in that pecking order, though. You're not jumping 5 teams. You don't have to jump 5 teams anymore.
It's first 4 games helped.
The Rays tomorrow, the Dodgers this weekend, we're talking about two of the better teams, or hottest teams at least, in baseball right now. It puts you in a spot where I know normally you don't want just 500, but like, given the quality of team you're facing, I would sign up for a 3-3 homestand in a second, because that's the danger of the teams that are coming in town. And as you said, they've lost, what is it, not only six straight series as well. Yeah. Not just 6 straight games at home, but 6 straight series at home.
They've won a series at home since going back to the White Sox there early in the month.
Yeah.
So the White Sox was the last home series win for the Royals. But, you know, going on the road, I think they handled it well. We can look at different managerial things, and I wasn't happy about Noah Cameron getting pulled in that game. And it's debatable whether you think Seth Lugo, but with the matchups that were going on that game, should he have gone out for another inning? Because Seth Lugo was dealing, man, in that game, no question about it. But they have done right things. Like, giving Jack that day off in Dallas was perfect. It clearly was, because he comes out and hits a couple home runs the next day. So it's time and place for that. But everybody's jumbled in. I mean, this is with the Royals in the front office. You know, we talked to JJ last week. You know, everybody thinks they got a chance, except, you know, if you're the White Sox, the A's are way out of it, stuff like that. The Orioles are 6.5 out, but they probably believe they can do it because they've been playing better.
It depends if the Orioles trade off guys like Mullins and O'Hearn and some others.
But they probably still think deep down they have a shot at it, because everybody does. But and clearly there's more teams in the National League that are kind of out of the picture of the American League. But this is what you get. I mean, this is the catch-22 of adding that extra wild card team where everybody thinks they're in it, so it brings that pool down between your buyers and sellers. But it's definitely go time now. You got to position yourself before you get to the All-Star break. Then take a couple days off there. And it's going to be tough because you got the Mets leading right up into the All-Star break. And that'll be a fun game. Good team in the New York Mets in a battle with the Phillies themselves in their division. It's going to be good. But the bottom line is figure out who and what you are. And the Royals have given you mixed signals, I think, because they've been really bad at home at times. They go and start a great road trip, and you're like, oh, things are coming together. They're scoring. They're hitting home runs. Things are different. Bobby's on fire. Sal Perez is giving you clutch hits, getting you home runs. Well, he's got 5 in the last 9 games. Things are going good. Jack's, you know, off the Schneid's got the home runs. Things are going well, and your pitching continues to be great. But you get down to that close game against San Diego there, and you're like, man, if they just would have come back 5-1. But they're still in it because – as I said, 9 teams are still only 2.5 games back total from being in the wild card.
Yeah, the Royals two back of the third and final wild card spot in the American League, 2 games under 500. I think to what we're watching, unless they go out and make a move at some point within the next month, offensively is what I'm talking about. What we're watching they're going to flirt around 500. I mean, if you told me they didn't make a single move the rest of the way, they're going to be anywhere from 3 under to 3 above 500. Like that's the range of who they are, I think, unless they go and make a move. And I know there's some people listening, understandably,
the team that does make moves in this jump, will make it.
I understand. Yeah, exactly.
Who's going to be that team?
And there's a lot of fans. There's definitely a lot of fans. We get the text as well where, hey, if that's what they are, there's some fans that don't want them to go and add to the offense.
If
they don't go and add anything, then I think they're just going to be in this range. We're going to see them throughout the rest of the year, 3 under to 3 above and no better and maybe worse, but no better. If they go and make a move to get a bat, well, then that's where you can say, oh, they'll be above 500 the rest of the way. That's where I'm kind of at with this team. And as we said over and over, here we are on June 23rd. You don't have to make a decision today to go sell, to go buy. And as we get closer to the deadline, it'll be easier to make that determination, not only based off your own performance, but the same case as you were making there with Baltimore, any of these other teams, that they'll also know, are they going to go out and be aggressive? Are they willing to wave the white flag, so to speak, when it comes to how they're going to approach the deadline? But I also, you can kind of do a little bit of both. You can make a move that helps you this year, but also helps you beyond. You know, it doesn't mean that there's always guys with control available, but I'm all about, if you want to make a trade that helps you this year and the guy's got a year of control into 2026, of course, that's a move that I'm willing to trade prospects for. I don't really want to give up one of my top 3 prospects in my system for a guy that's just helping me for a half a season for a team that's floating around 500. I don't want to do that. Those are guys like Mullins and O'Hearn. I'm not really interested in those guys where their deals are done at the end of the season. I'm not giving you, pick a name, Blake Mitchell, for example, your second prospect in the system. I'm not trading him for a half season. And I don't, by the way, you would get more than just Ryan O'Hearn for Blake Mitchell or something.
Well, your number 1 and 2 prospects are both catchers.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, but my thing is, and I still stick on it, again, if your pitching was 15th and some days you're hitting the ball well and you're just hovering around where the Royals are, but the pitching staff is elite level. They're not taking a break. Once they hit June, it's not like they slowed down. They were good last year, and they parlayed that into the season. Right. And then you're having unbelievable seasons from Chris Bubich, and then Seth Lugo is just on another planet right now, how good he's been. And you can only be as good as Cole Reagan and Seth Lugo. Well, they proved they can be as good as what Lorenzen or Bubich does, in the games. And Noah Cameron, out of the blue, comes and helps his team. You just don't want to waste this pitching staff because, again, they could go another decade with having a pitching staff as good as this one, because this could be the best they've ever had. So you just hate the waste. Pitching is so tough to get in Major League Baseball, and they have it. And that's the toughest thing, is to not let this go to waste, because they're giving you a chance to win each and every night. This pitching staff is that good.
Yeah, and J.J. Piccolo had acknowledged they almost have a sense of an obligation with as good as the pitching staff they have to make sure that they do what's needed to get this offense on track. Tomorrow we'll talk more about actually some numbers in June that have been encouraging. There's one particular area that is still struggling. That's runners in scoring position. We saw that pop up again, with Vinny and runners in scoring position. Despite how well he's been hitting, you still run into that particular circumstance has been problematic. I was going to ask you, though, is it a set number of games back or under 500, or is it a day where I told you, let's say it's July 10th, I don't know, where you'd say, all right, at that point in time, you want them to make that determination? Because you mentioned how great Seth Lugo is. He's been awesome. And you can think about, you know, what could you get for him if this thing goes south? Hopefully it doesn't. But is there a number, if I said on July 10th, that either the Royals have to be above 500 at a certain point, or they have to still be within a playoff spot, where you're saying, no, I'm not doing it? Or what's the number where you would be on board with actually having to make that move to trade away somebody like him?
Well, as you sit right now, the pitching overall between starters and relievers, it's fourth in all of baseball. Second in the American League. They're second in the American League with starters ERA. If that slips somewhere to like 10 or 11 or something, if that ERA slipped and they're now one of the 10 best or 11 best, you're kind of in the middle of the pack in baseball. But when you're sitting there as the second best team in ERA in the American League, you really don't have an excuse not to make the playoffs. If you're that good at pitching, I mean, fourth in all of baseball in ERA as a team, that's playoff-worthy team. Like, you don't see teams not make the postseason. They're in the top five in ERA in baseball. They just don't do it. So I take a look at what this pitching staff is doing, saying they're not taking a step back. So instead of kind of looking at the record and where they're at, I'm looking at the ERA.
So you're saying,
if that starts to slip, you're like, eh, maybe we don't have a chance. But if it's staying consistent where it is, that's when you know you have to make the push.
So you're saying, it sounds like, no matter how whatever the record looks like, it basically seems like you're not...
Because I'm saying they're better than that record.
The offense is what the offense is, though. That also doesn't lie either. I was just going to say, though, it sounds like with your answer there that there's no scenario where you would be willing to trade Seth Lugo then this year, even though his contract expires.
If they get slide back where the Orioles are, 6.5 back,
okay.
But I'd say
so there is
5.5 back, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But if this pitching did slide back and they weren't second best in the American League and all of a sudden they started going back to the pack, I'd start saying, well, I don't think we can keep this up because we definitely can't hit. And if we can't pitch, we can't have 50% of what we're good at, which is pitching instead of hitting. If that starts to slide back, then I have to make decisions. But when you're looking at this and you're saying, this is elite level stuff, what they're throwing on the mound. I mean, this is playoff, this is championship caliber pitching that you're putting on the field, and you don't have the hitting to go with it. You're wasting it. It's that window of opportunity just gone. Because, again, we'd be sitting here in 5 years, and you're going, man, if this pitching staff could always be as good as 25, that what a wasted opportunity. You look back at it, and you have that cognitive dissonance saying, man, if we would have just done this when we had a pitching staff this good, you just got to take a look at it.
I'm still in the same spot. If it, July 10th, July 15th, that range, a couple weeks out of the trade deadline, they have to be within five spots of a playoff spot, third wild card. If they're not, then at that point, I think it would almost be a mistake not to look at trading somebody like Seth Lugo. That's why they don't need to do that now. They're two games out of a playoff spot. You don't have to make that determination now. But if it's middle of the month and you're getting close to that deadline, and maybe you can even wait until the deadline to make that move. But if you're more than five out, then I have to think you have to start being realistic. If you also don't believe there's a real trade to be made to help your offense, because you also don't want to get, you don't want to clearly be out of it, let's say mid-August, and still have Seth Lugo and not get anything when he's going to opt out. So you have to be careful that they don't have to make the determination now. But yeah, that five, basically being six or more out, close to the deadline, and I'm out.
We're just thinking about, all right, what would a five-game winning streak do for this team? Because the one advantage the Royals do have, when they've gotten hot lately, like Cleveland and Minnesota weren't hot. That's why the Royals were able to make up ground. Yeah. But typically, they kind of go with each other. Remember the Royals winning all those games, 16 out of 18? Cleveland kept winning. Minnesota started winning again. That was bad news for the Royals. But conceivably, you look at it as a week when they play, typically just six games and that one off day. You go on a five-game winning streak, that can shoot you up. As I mentioned, the Royals went from right next to the White Sox at the bottom all the way to second just within 4 days.
Coming up in 12 minutes or so, we'll get back to the Thunder and what they maybe have started in the NBA. We'll also get to the random question of the day. But we know in this AFC West, quarterback-wise, it's in a better position than it really has been in a long, long time. Obviously, Mahomes at the top, Herbert, Bo Nix in year two, Geno Smith sitting there for...
Is that your order?
No, I'm just
curious.
Yeah.
It's actually, pretty good order, except for...
I wasn't planning on it being the order, but I would have Herbert too. Yeah, that would be my order. Yeah, Geno would be the worst quarterback.
So you'd have Geno behind Bo.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Geno Smith at this point in time, the last 2 years has been very, very average. The ceiling is still higher on Bo Nix, despite his being a lower ceiling than obviously a Jane Daniels. Anyway, that wasn't the point of it. I was just listing off quarterbacks. But the way the AFC West is laid out, It is better positioned, Bink, than what it has been in the past based on quarterback and coach combos. But Tom Brady, who we all know has a role within the Raiders organization, according to a report from The Athletic, said that Sam Darnold was in consideration to be the starting quarterback of the Raiders. We all know he's now in Seattle. But that, according to this, Brady was not in favor of going after Darnold, which might explain why the Raiders never made, ultimately, a real strong effort to land the former first-round pick. It says if Brady doesn't want the Raiders to go after a certain quarterback, the team is likely going to listen to him. Mark Davis said that he wanted Brady to have a huge voice in what the Raiders do, and it sounds like he does have some strong influence when it comes to quarterbacks. Now, they haven't been in a position to draft one. That's ultimately where I think it'll be more telling.
They want him.
But it's just a veteran option. What do you make of that? Do you think they made the right decision, I guess? Would you rather have Geno Smith for 2 years with Pete Carroll or Sam Darnold?
It depends. I mean, having it's the right position, obviously, to go out and
they're
select.
They're both kind of crappy options.
We have seen it work before because Elway personally selected Manning, right, when he wanted to bring Manning into the Denver Broncos. It was Elway's ilk. That's the number one thing. Really, the only thing he did is he brought in Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, you're always curious, why, what's his role? Because you always heard both, right? He doesn't have much role, just silent partner, just didn't do anything. Then you hear, well, the reason that Mark Davis brought him in was for what he knows about football and what he knows about the quarterback position. How can we turn this thing around? So clearly that stands there. It is odd to me, though, because he's a broadcaster in this league, and what's going to happen when you're doing a Sam Darnold game whenever they, you hated me, you didn't want me to be there, you don't want me to be a Raider. So it is interesting that's the direction they went, but if you didn't think this is what Tom Brady's doing, it brings back the whole thing into light. Like when he's doing Chiefs games, obviously he can't go to practices because that's part of the rules. With Tom Brady being a, you know, a minority owner, he can't go to watch practice. He can't do a lot of things that different broadcasters can do because he has this role. But how much do people tell him? How much information does he get? Because that goes into play from who he selects and who he has playing for the Raiders, because it goes into what he has in the grand scheme of things with Tom Brady. So, like, you trust this guy or not when he's around you, because he is making decisions for the Raiders. And especially if you're the Chiefs, you're going, hey, you're building up a team to beat us, man. I'm not giving you any information, but I do find it interesting that that he didn't want Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think, look, neither is a great option. For the short term, I think Sam Darnold, we're going to find out when he is now in Seattle. Like, Kevin O'Connell is that freaking good as a head coach and a play caller, and he can make, or I think we'll see with J.J. McCarthy eventually.
But he's handling that whole thing weird.
He can make these quarterbacks look much better than what they are. And if I'm Sam Darnold, good on you. You got paid because you had a great year. And so props to him. I think we're going to see Sam Darnold come. I mean, New York Jets bad again. No, that he's, to his credit, he's improved as a quarterback and he learned a lot with Kevin O'Connell, but
except down the
he's
stretch.
He's not going to, he cost himself millions of dollars, obviously down the stretch. He's not going to be nearly as good. He had Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell and that whole system and Addison. He's going to Seattle where that's just a completely no DK Metcalf anymore. Jackson Smith and Jigba is your top guy. And I like Njigba, but he's not Justin Jefferson or anything like
that. It's a defensive minded team.
Yeah, I just don't think you're going to see the numbers. Geno Smith, he's fine. He's fine. You know, I think now he's raised also his floor. You kind of know what you're going to get, but Geno Smith 2 years ago, that guy hasn't shown up in 2 years. You know what I mean? Like the guy that got everybody excited again about Geno Smith, that's not who he's been the last 2 years. Now, maybe you think Pete Carroll can do something, but I don't know, man. That's, you went to another kind of conservative offense. That's Pete Carroll.
I know Pete Carroll, you know, made his way in this league by being defensive minded. Like we've seen his other coaches from his staff go to places like Gus Bradley and things like that, go to other places and not succeed. But I will say this, Russell Wilson did flourish under Pete Carroll. Like, that did happen, being a defensive mind. Same thing we saw in New England. Bill Belichick's defensive mind, the guy. Tom Brady clearly flourished.
That's Tom Brady. Brady would have flourished under you, too. You know what I mean?
Pete Carroll did have Russell Wilson flourish when he was the head coach. He went to two Super Bowls. Should have two rings because of it and just got one, but he decided to throw it down by the goal line and doesn't.
Who's the OC, all that stuff.
But he came dangerously close to getting it.
They had the Legion of – they had the no-fly zone. I think that's – the Raiders don't have that. I think that's like Russell Wilson was.
No, but they have the best tight end in the league at this point, and they have a running back that if he does what he's supposed to do, they have some weapons, man. They have some weapons on the Raiders. I don't think they've put that all together. They're going to be a 10-win team, but they're much, much better.
They're losing, and then I think they'll be okay. Like Russell Wilson was never, he was a game manager. Russell Wilson was never the reason that the Seahawks would lose a game. It was never Russell Wilson.
He put up some good numbers.
Well, that's why they won the Super Bowl. I'm saying that he didn't make mistakes. No, like his numbers weren't like, oh my gosh, this guy's like the MVP, but
and he was sacked more than the other quarterback.
Yeah, he was never the reason why they ended up losing.
All right, coming up next, we got an injury update around Tyrese Haliburton news just coming out moments ago. We'll talk more about the Thunder and maybe they could be the next great dynasty in sports. All right, coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. Binkley, it's on you today, so we'll find out what that question is coming up in just a bit. You guys can always interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We were planning on talking about the Thunder right here anyway. We did get the latest update from the Pacers on Tyrese Haliburton. They confirmed that it is a torn tendon in his Achilles. And so, as suspected, that's going to be a devastating injury for Tyrese Haliburton and impact his availability of all of next season as well. So just devastating blow. That's the confirmation on the news. We all kind of knew, unfortunately, in the middle of that.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Towards the end of the first quarter last night.
It does baffle me still. It was June 22nd before it ended. I know, they need to find a way to shorten this up. That's way too long to go there. But these Achilles injuries, at least he's young enough. Because I remember Derek Johnson, when he got it from the Chiefs, he recovered a lot faster than I thought he would with his age. I mean, Derek Johnson, that's the type of phone calls I'd be making. I'd be making phone calls to these guys because the Chiefs had DeVito, too, that went down right there with the Achilles, too, at the same time. Derek Johnson, I think it was the same game.
He can just call. He can call NBA players to find out the recovery.
Yeah, you go that, but I'd go. I go
Mike DeVito's phone
number. No, I go Derek Johnson. I go any athlete that's dealt with Achilles.
Yeah, I mean Jason Tatum's doing with it right now.
Damian Lillard is too. Yeah.
Damian Lillard is unfortunately. That's the weird thing. I swear, and this is all sports, but definitely the NBA because you just rattled off a couple guys just this postseason alone. Mm-hmm. We're seeing these Achilles injuries happen more, and I don't know if anybody has the answer exactly why this is happening. I understand in Haliburton's case. He had the calf strain, and somebody much smarter than me was saying that the calf strain, it could potentially cause what just happened to his Achilles as well. He was playing through that, and so maybe that's the answer for in this particular instance. But if I'm not mistaken, like Damian Lillard was healthy when he had his Achilles ruptured or whatever, so or tore his tendon on it. So I don't know. It sucks, obviously, for Haliburton. It sucked as a sports fan last night to see how quickly that turned. And Halliburton made three threes, and obviously he's made clutch shot after clutch shot.
Rough finals for him, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was hurt.
He was hurt. But he had no points out in game eight.
Game one. Yeah,
but it might have looked completely different if he's 100% healthy this
series. For sure. It's the big what if.
Game three, he also was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a big what if. I mean, the Thunder, congratulations to them. They were the best team in the NBA all season. 84 wins combined postseason, regular season. Third most wins in NBA history, if you combine the two that we've seen. And they're first time champs, and they're set up. You know, that's the thing. They're set up for the future. They're low payroll. Young team, SGA is the MVP. He's only going to get better. Chet Holmgren, I think, is only going to get better and go on and on. Their head coach is only 40 years old. If you think, you know, I know people won't give him a ton of credit. A head coach is never going to get the credit until you've done it a couple times.
He certainly get the blame, though.
No doubt. Yeah. I'm not saying he's the next Eric Spoelstra or anything, but like he's obviously going to be there for a while now. And we think. I say we think
based on years past, I don't know. He might only have a couple years left.
Yeah, if he doesn't win another one in 2 years, he's out. Look, it's all set up there for them to become the next dynasty in sports. You guys agree?
Yes.
I mean, they're set up for it. The pushback would be that the last 7 years we've had seven different NBA champions. That would be the argument of why they're not about to be a dynasty. But the way the organization is set with three first round picks next year, two this year, they've got the ability to parlay those picks either into more young talent or obviously package for other deals. They're in an unbelievable spot, and it's a team right there in Oklahoma City.
Have you seen the odds yet for next season with it?
Yeah, they're like plus 240 or something.
Which is pretty crazy for a season-long award for them to be
make that bet this far out.
2.5 to 1 basically is pretty
It's
wild.
Not worth making that bet now. 2.5 to 1, I don't even make that bet right now. That's like, if you're wondering some other teams like the
Magic have pretty decent odds. I think the books are high on the Magic. They got like the fifth or sixth best odds to win it.
Yeah, the Magic out East are a team people are talking about. They're 13-1. Cavs 8-1. Cavs, most people think, will be back in the mix. Knicks 9-1. Rockets
healthy too.
Rockets 9-1 are itching now with Kevin Durant. Yeah. You know, they were number two seed this past season.
The West is just loaded. I mean, that's just the thing for Oklahoma City is they looked really good this year. You know, obviously you're going to have Denver. We'll see how Denver looks. Houston finished second in the West. You'd think theoretically they're going to bounce back and play well. You know, what is the rest of the Clippers? What exactly do they do with Paul George and company? All these, there's a lot of trickle down with it. The NBA is like trade deadline is always the crazy part for the NBA more than the NFL necessarily in some ways, but free agency also and the potential for trades is always something that creates some buzz. You know, did the Spurs go eat Giannis? Obviously, Giannis is still potentially a name to watch.
NBA offseason is great. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, other than the NFL free agency period.
Is in 2 days. You
know? Yeah, I will say, I'll admit, though, like the draft doesn't get me all that excited. It's two nights now, which is ridiculous. Just make it one night, please. I know it ends very late and stuff, but like, I don't need two nights of the NBA draft. Once Cooper Flagg and Harper, et cetera, are off the board, I don't really care after like pick eight.
Yeah, unless you
but at least they do the combine before where guys can make the decision. Get the advice with a stay in school. I think that was huge.
Like,
for him.
We already like. There's no drama, right? Cooper Flagg is going one to Dallas.
I mean, yeah, the Mavs too would be interesting as well
next season.
The way that they look, of course, Kyrie also got. Next year will be interesting. I know that you know we don't have an NBA team here. Mm-hmm. I follow the NBA a lot, but you know we don't talk about it too much. But next year will be interesting to see because Tatum, Dame, Tyrese, Kyrie tore his ACL. You know all the different. A lot of stars are not going to be available at least in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it does stink.
Could be LeBron's final season. I mean, all these things.
Do you think, do you actually think it is?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a chance it could be. His contract is up after this year.
I think now tickets are going to be even more because the Thunder just won a title. But I've said it. I always, every year, and the timing never works out, but I'm going to have to just do it. When do the Lakers go to OKC?
How far are we away from OKC?
Five? Four?
Okay.
Four or five?
Okay.
Because Dallas is eight.
Easy drive.
Am I off on five? Is it four? Dallas is eight, so you're not going to, I don't know.
Second
I think,
closest would be Chicago, right?
That's eight.
It is the closest NBA team.
Or Denver is another eight. Denver's like
there's
another eight.
There's a bunch of eights.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Quick flights, 8-hour drives. OKC, maybe four and a half. Did you look it up?
I was looking at the...
Plus, it's the LeBron game anyways. Like, you're already going to have to pay more money.
The tricky part is if it's a random day, usually like you're worried about you buy tickets and LeBron's not playing that night. Then you're screwed.
Now, 371 miles.
Well, how many hours, I think? I'm not doing the quick math on the 70 miles an hour thing.
I don't...
All right, never mind.
It's a little over five. About five hours. If you're going 70 miles an hour, it's a little over 5.
In Norman, Oklahoma is like 30 minutes beyond that.
They're supposed to get a new arena down there, aren't they?
Oh, the Thunder?
Yeah. I believe that Paycor or whatever they're... Yeah.
I don't
know. People on the text line say it's 5 flat. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All right. That's all I was wondering. I think next year I want to see LeBron.
He's going to the parade.
Yeah, Drew, you were on Friday. I'm not
going to the Oklahoma City parade.
I wasn't there.
You said you were.
On Friday, and you, I guess, were telling everybody you were looking up parade routes and everything. So you can tell us how far of a drive. Like you said, you wanted to go to a championship parade.
I did. I was not looking up routes, though. I think you know. I was looking forward.
Depending on what you want to go to a parade. No. If after the finals are over,
Drew
you want to go
to a parade. But it's never going to happen.
If the Pacers won.
If they won.
Yeah, I'm not going to go see the Thunder celebrate.
Alex is never going
to
happen.
Look, congrats to the Thunder. Even if the Pacers would have lost, but if Tyrese was healthy, and even still, it's going to be really good. But Netflix has Tyrese and Shea in their Netflix doc, the starting five doc. So we're going to see the game winners. You're going to see the behind the scenes coverage of all of that stuff. You're going to see the MVP. You're going to see the finals matchup, of course. Like it's all going to be. That documentary will be really, really
Netflix
exciting.
Netflix is your thing because Joe Burrow's getting ready to be on the quarterback.
I saw the official trailer.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to talk about it a little bit. We'll play some of that trailer.
It's like perfect for Drew. Can't win at all. Enjoy Netflix.
Maybe people will respect him a little bit more after this, huh?
Oh, gosh.
Not if they've seen him throw a baseball.
Jeez.
Not if they've seen him throw a baseball.
People respect him more. Joe Burrow
not
gets
you, Gold, because
Joe
I think Burrow you actually gets, are giving him the
Joe
respect.
Joe Burrow gets plenty of respect. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That's what he is. He's not Mahomes. He's not Allen. And that's where I'm at with Joe Burrow. He's the third best quarterback, fourth best quarterback in the league.
And you'll never have him throw out a first pitch.
In fairness, Bink, I don't want him throwing out first pitches. The man's too locked in to throw a baseball properly.
He can't
properly
throw a baseball.
Because he's too locked in.
Oh, gosh.
He's too locked in, Bink.
That's why my first pitch sucked. I was too locked in. Yeah, that's why it sucked, Drew.
Exactly. Gold was too locked in.
Too locked in?
He's too used
to throw a first pitch? He's
Alex,
a professional athlete.
I have no problem
Friday,
with him throwing the ball.
Drew had everything planned out.
Oh, man.
He asked for the days off for the parade.
I did not ask
so
for the days off.
So he put that into HR and spec as far as having days off.
Yeah, he's
The parade route, how he's going to be able to call
in. You know,
it'd
be nice
he thought
if you
he was
stopped
be able
lying,
to call
because you've lied a lot today. You know,
Name one lie. Name one lie.
I never asked for the days off. I never looked up the flight route because, one, they didn't know if
you're
they had
drive,
won yet.
You said.
Yeah, I said if the Pacers won, I would hope to drive overnight and I would get to Indy for the day.
And you were going to call Cody and Gold once an hour.
I didn't say that either.
You had dedicated times.
It would have been fun. We would have had a live report from the parade, but
Drew's going to throw beers.
Some of the Drew's teams, they just don't win. Hey. They don't win titles. It's the reality of where they're at.
Name another lie. You said a lie all the time.
They're also not expected to win the titles, which makes, I think that means like it's weird. The Bengals are the one team that I would always root for, but the game last night, I was more distraught than even like the whole playoff run. I was more into it than like the Bengals. I was obviously into, but they had never won a playoff game in my life. Like the Pacers had won, it just wasn't getting to the finals. Like the Bengals weren't supposed to make it, they did.
But how big a fan are you, though, Drew? I've never seen you wear a Pacers jersey. I haven't. I haven't seen a sweatshirt, T-shirt.
You know, hat.
Drew sent us.
I've seen
Drew
you wear nothing
of the Pacers.
You know, I mean, jerseys are $140. You know,
Drew
Drew
sent us a photo one time wearing his Pacers.
I've seen a ton of Burrow stuff.
I'm sorry, I don't fit into a size to a youth adult large anymore. You know, otherwise I would have worn my Jalen Rose jersey.
What's that other Bengals jersey you wear all the time? The one that you wore to the
AJ Green.
AJ Green, yeah.
Neither of which I bought with my own money, by the way.
And your Trey Hendrickson jersey.
I don't have that.
Shamar Stewart's on the way. That one's on delay, I think.
Geez, Stewart. You know.
Yeah, until he signs, Drew can't get it.
At the rate that we're going.
Your Jamar Chase gear.
All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Thank you.
Random question.
It is the random question. Bink, it is all you today.
I'm not going to play. I've decided that I'm not doing this segment.
I have to go back to ChatGPT for a question now?
I told you I'm not doing a segment. The listeners hate it. I'll give a question, even though I said...
They don't like your questions.
They don't. I don't know what it is, but last week, a ton of people responded. I said, name somewhere that's the weirdest place you've ever taken your parents or had them take you.
Yeah, that one wasn't the best.
But you know what? The text line went on. I mean, they liked it, clearly. A lot of responses, but you guys mocked it.
So you're
Drew
mad.
Drew was very disrespectful about the whole situation. So I am not coming up with the Graham the question.
So you're pouting. So you're pouting.
Essentially.
Because people didn't like your question last week. You won't give us one?
Exactly. I'm not giving you a question.
Okay. 913-586-7965. How about this one for you? I saw this come across earlier today the University of Kansas Athletic Department, I guess, is auctioning off Bill Self's personal desk from his office, I guess, that he had there up until 2 years ago. I don't know why. He just needs a new desk, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's up for auction. It's starting at $5,000. The question is, would you laugh. You laugh. Somebody's going to bid on that. I bet you that thing goes, goes for over $20,000. The question is, would you bid on an office desk from somebody famous? And if so, who? That's the random question. 913-586-7965. Since you won't come up with one, I'll just do that one on the fly. Saw that come across the timeline today.
Well, I will give you an answer.
Okay, let me hear it.
I think it would be cool to have one.
What are you going to do with that big desk from Bill Self? What are you going to do with this desk?
And I don't think you can make it your own desk either. Like that's...
I want Nick Saban's desk.
Ooh, it's a good...
The one he had there in his basement, had Belichick sitting around it.
That's a good pull.
He had all this stuff, and he loved his desk. He was always sitting around that desk. More college national champions than any other coach. All that brain trust went to that desk. I would take Nick Saban's desk.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a great question, by the way. I like this.
Oh, I did. I saw it. So, like, look, let's say, ignore the money. Like, obviously, I'm not spending $20,000 on a desk from anybody, okay?
But not even Bill Self.
No, but somebody will. Somebody will. I think...
You have too much money if you're spending $20,000 on a desk.
Yeah, I don't... Is there a sports... Like, is there a coach or sports figure? Like, I mean, we're talking about a desk. What am I going to... Like, you're just going to have it downstairs? Are you going to turn your office desk into their... From theirs?
Like, hey, this is Nick Saban's desk.
I don't know. Like somebody said, Andy Reid's desk. I don't know. Honestly, it'd probably be more on, like, I know we don't need to go down the road and talk specifics, but like, obviously if you could have the desk from the Oval Office or something like that, like that's a whole different conversation, you know.
Well, that's a huge deal because each president like has their own desk. Yeah, they bring in different ones.
Where you talk about some of the important documents that were signed. That would be the real answer I would probably give you, but that would never happen. Never going to be for sale. It's going to go to their library or whatever.
Or be reused because sometimes they reuse other desk of presidents.
Yeah, a lot of people saying the desk from the Oval Office.
Hey, look, if it's anything like National Treasure, then you know, there's some little unknown compartments in that desk, you know, that lead you to the... I think that, you know, that might be interesting.
Someone said Walt Disney's old animation desk would be their answer. Hmm. They would bid on that. Someone said Hugh Hefner's.
Well.
Interesting desk.
Hmm. Desk.
Desk. I said interesting desk.
Desk. Yeah, don't get us started on that again.
Well, these things are interesting.
Don't blame me.
Remember when Cheers? It was definitely you.
Drew, there used to be a show called Cheers that people liked, right? Mm-hmm. It was a very popular show back in the day.
The Bar Top.
They sold that Bar Top. It went on auction for like, what, $600,000, something like that? I don't think it went for a ton over that, but wouldn't that be cool to have your basement? You have the bar from Cheers?
Oh, yeah. If you have the real estate. Someone says... Binkley's desk. They just want your cubicle. That desk where you all the stats that come out of there.
That's where the magic happens.
Someone says a particular president's desk. Can only imagine.
There's what's a lot been on of that those thing. Things.
A lot. You guys all
of
know
that, of that individual.
A lot. but somebody else said Hal McCray's desk. It's already cleared off.
Slammed it and hit Doolittle with the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thinking. I don't.
Somebody else said Bill Snyder. So they just wanted the legendary coach's desk.
Could be a cool item to have.
Uh-huh. Someone assists desk money going to NIL.
That's
Kansas.
A good question. I don't know. I got some email about it. Let me see. I have to go back and look at an email. I just got an alert that's the only reason why I picked it for a random question last minute as I saw it come across.
Because I
Bank is pouting. Bank's pouting over there and won't do a random question of the day.
Well, this works.
I'm guessing it's for KU's NIL or something. Yes,
but it's not that great of a question, though. I mean, honestly.
I turned out to be a pretty good one.
I know, but I get a bunch of crap for my questions. And you're asking the great cognitive question, what desk do you want? That is riveting stuff, Gold.
Uh-huh. The text line likes it.
Well, our text line's weird.
By the way, I'll just say the most popular answer. I told you, the Resolute desk or something, but Bill Clinton's desk is the one that everybody's texting at.
I can understand that.
Everybody's texting.
I can understand that.
Someone says, I'll fill Drew in. He's too little to understand why.
No, I definitely understand.
Too young.
Are we sure?
Do we need to explain it to you, Drew?
I'm sure.
Huh? Do we need to explain it to you on the break?
No.
Someone says John Wooden. Yeah. John Wooden, another legendary coach. Any other? Charlie. Did you guys mention the Charlie Sheen one?
No.
Who said Charlie Sheen's desk? You never know what you might find in one of the drawers. That's what somebody mentioned.
I don't know if I have an answer, honestly. I can't.
If money wasn't an issue, because I wouldn't spend any money for somebody else's like desk. But if, let's say, you just had an unlimited amount of money and the desk was $50,000,
the Oval Office would be cool. Yeah, like declarations of war, drop of the bomb, or you know, Harry Truman's desk and stuff like that. I mean, think about that stuff.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of anybody else's.
Text Saul Goodman's. The desk from Tommy Boy.
It's pretty riveting stuff.
The cars together, someone said.
What desk do you want?
The context actually made it a good question. Last minute, since somebody wouldn't ask a damn question.
I'd say,
pouting.
Scale of 1 to 10, this is about a 2.
Okay. So tomorrow, are you ready? Or are you going to still be pouting?
I ask, where's the weirdest place you've taken your parents so they picked you up? And you ask, I'll say, what desk do you want?
We've got more text.
I got a lot of response.
More text on this than the others that you've come up with recently.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not that interesting of a question, though, is it,
the
Drew?
Desk
it causes
is,
people to think, Bank.
I think the desk
Who goes
question,
around thinking, man, I want this desk?
That's
what
the point.
Desk would no, you
that,
want?
That's the point.
That actually means it's a
that's
really good
point.
Question. It makes you actually that's ponder it for a second. It's not an automatic answer, you know? It's not
that's the point, Bank.
I'll take Pete Rose's, R.I.P. Pete Rose.
Okay, there you go.
So, I thought Friday's question was good.
What was Friday?
As well.
What did you guys do on Friday?
Friday's question, it was...
Because Drew, we did it.
Let me hear it.
What have you convinced, like, what is the most ridiculous thing you've convinced someone was true? Mine was, somebody also on the text line did this. I feel really bad now. I used to try to convince my brother that he was adopted.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty terrible thing to do.
All the text line thinks I'm the jerk and not Drew. Think again.
Again, Bink, I was like 8 or 7.
A jerk move, man.
Someone says, Drew, your answer should be the desk of the neighbor's apartment above you.
If that desk is creaking, then maybe it is that. I don't know.
Got some wild neighbors, Drew.
You've heard the story.
You haven't heard the story yet?
No, I haven't heard.
Yeah,
I heard about the snake and stuff like that, but I didn't know.
The neighbors upstairs are chewing it and doing it, basically. Bink is what it is.
On the desk?
Blue Chew.
Drew's been waking up in the middle of the night.
Do you give them?
Drew's been waking up in the middle of the night hearing his neighbors upstairs.
70s porn music. Bow, chick, bow, bow.
He says it's stopped recently, though.
It has.
Well, wait, is that knock on wood, or is that?
That was knock on wood.
Okay. Do you ever, like, go knock on our door and say, hey, why don't you cut that down, man? Why don't you stop doing that?
At 2 a.m., you know how ridiculous that would be if you were having sex at 2 a.m. and your neighbor came over and knocked on your door that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Just depends, man.
No, Bink.
I have an interesting story about this whole situation, but I don't think I'll bring it up.
You got 3 minutes. Go for it.
That's what she said.
Jeez.
Oh, it was a situation. There was this deal. All right. Uh-huh. This girl I was dating.
Okay.
Her neighbors liked to get it loud. Right. That bed was rocking. Right. And I felt inadequate. I felt completely inadequate. I was like, how can I live up to this? So when she left the room one night, I jumped up and down on the bed to make noise.
Oh, my God.
So it sounded like, hey, a stud. So I got up on the bed, jumped on it to make some noise. Pretty desperate.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It worked, though.
Jay Binkley, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Binkley.
Earned respect.
Uh-huh. 913-586-7965.
What desk do you want?
Southland Tow Service text line. It was in relation to a story about Bill Self's desk being auctioned off, Bank. All right.
For the 913, I would rather have a question about a dumb desk than nothing, Bank. At least it was something. I
provide questions.
Tomorrow.
You don't like
tomorrow
answering
it's
them.
You. Tomorrow, it's back on you. You gotta come up with something for it.
You have 24 hours.
No, let me
to
do
come
it.
Up
let
with a
it.
Random question.
Let me do it.
Yeah, tomorrow we're gonna let you do it.
I'll redeem myself.
Okay, you got something.
I'll
good?
Think of a better question than what's your favorite desk.
That's not what the question was. That's not what the question was.
Hey, low bar. Low bar.
That's not what the question was, Bink. All right.
What's your favorite kitchen?
Up next. There's a joke in there somewhere as well. But up next, Andy Reid said something on Friday that if it actually happens is some of the best news you could hear as a Chiefs fan. We'll tell you what it is.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.